So many times I've questioned certain circumstances and things I could not understand. And many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision. That's where my frustration gets so out of hand. But it's then I am reminded that I've never been forsaken, and I've never had to stand one test alone. When I look at all my victories, and the Spirit rises up in me, as through the fire my weakness is made strong. Myself, I would surely perish, but if I trust the hand of God, He shields the flames again. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy. Oh,
I can remember as a little boy, my mom walking me through a lot of things. I can remember first day of school, all those years. I can remember being so scared. We moved around a lot and went to a lot of new schools. I can remember being so scared of walking into a new school and seeing new kids, but Mom walked me through. I can remember an operation I had when I was around 10 or 11. I had a kidney operation, and I can remember Mom comforting me the night before and walking me through the halls of Scottish Rite and comforting me while I was there up until my surgery time. And she was there when I came out of my surgery. Mom walked me through a lot, and I appreciate that. I'm a dad this morning, and I have the opportunity. I have the opportunity to walk my daughter through. But you know, even now, as a grown man and being walked through myself and now being able to walk her through, there's times where I need walking through still. And I'm glad this morning that I have a Heavenly Father that will walk me through. There's things that I haven't experienced yet as being 41 years old. I've experienced a lot, but there's a lot of things I haven't experienced that I'm sure that I will experience. Some things for the first time. But I have God's blessing and God's promise that He'll walk me through. If you know Him this morning as your personal Lord and Savior, He'll walk you through. I don't know what kind of heart condition you have this morning, how you came in, what you're dealing with, but I do know this. The Good Shepherd wants to walk you through. He is here this morning. His Holy Spirit is already working and moving in hearts. And I know He's going to use the music. He already is. I know He's going to use the message. My prayer is this morning is that we will just let go and let God. So with that said, welcome to Calvary Baptist Church right here in good old Powder Springs, Georgia. And so good to be here. The sun is shining on the outside. S-U-N, the S-O-N is shining on the inside. It's just good to be alive and it's good to be saved this morning. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I'm vertical and not horizontal. And I'm glad that I have opportunity one more time to stand to try to be a blessing to God's people. I count that a great honor and a great, great privilege this morning. And so welcome. Thank you for coming. Those watching on Facebook, never want to take you for granted. Thank you for tuning in. Those listening on the web, listening on the radio, however you get the message this morning, we're just so very thankful for you tuning in to be with us. I do want to mention a few things before I toss it back to Brother Allen. This coming up weekend, there will be a celebration in Cajamarca, Peru. And that is our very own missionaries, Don and Carla Rich, are celebrating 20 years on foreign fields. And can we give them a round of applause this morning? Cajamarca, Los Baños del Inca. Didn't think I'd say that, could you? That ain't speaking in tongues either. That's Spanish. And so we wanted to give a backdrop on our bulletin and on the screen that would just speak to what they have been doing and what every Christian should do. And that is, and He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's Mark 16:15. And what a blessing Brother Don, Sister Carla has been. I'm sure you've known them longer than I have. We first met them when we were, well, I guess a number of years ago, actually, at Floyd Road when they would come by, but got to know them a little more through the years. And so I know they'll be watching after they have church a little bit later. And so we love you guys from Powder Springs to Peru. We love you. We are proud that you are our very own and over in Cajamarca, Peru and beyond. And all the ministries that God, that the Lord has allowed them to do, all the Bibles being sent, even into the jungles. I'm talking about woo-hoo-ha-ha, jungle, Tarzan. Okay? Yeah. Hey, I'm telling you the truth. Don Rich will tell you that is the story. Those Bibles go in where there are potentially tribes. That's a very dangerous thing. You ever seen the movie End of the Spear? About those first, some of the first missionaries? Yeah. And so we praise the Lord for our people. We love them and wish them the very best. Who said you can't laugh in church? Hey, we're going to laugh and celebrate all the way to heaven. So you need to get used to it. All right, so praise the Lord for them. I do want to lift up Miss Dolores Palmer in prayer. She is going on the 20th to have her hernia operation. Brother Leonard went Friday to receive results from a body scan that he had. I haven't received those results yet. Maybe you have, but let's just pray for their family in this upcoming surgery. Miss Connie Norton, who is still recovering at home with her heart issues, praying for her. And, of course, Miss Claudia Darby. Let's continue to remember Miss Claudia. Lift her up in prayer. She's going on the 12th, which I believe is Wednesday, for a heart cath. She goes Tuesday for just to test her to make sure she's good to have a heart cath test done. So remember her. There's many others. Let's remember in prayer. Just grab a bulletin, and that'll be great in the foyer or down front here. Remember next Sunday morning and evening will be our Youth Sunday. We move that up a Sunday. So remember that. Also, CLU is at 3 o'clock. Got a special guest speaking there. And one last thing before we pray, and that is our ladies' prayer brunch will be at Marianne Sanvey's home on the 13th of July this month at 11 o'clock. So remember those things if you would, and that'll be good. Yes. Sure. If you plan on going to the ladies' prayer brunch, ask to carpool with someone. Parking is limited. I mean, it's a single driveway, so you can imagine how parking would be. So you can do that and coordinate that with Miss Marianne. All right, you glad you're here? Say amen. Amen. All right, let's pray and ask the Lord to bless us today. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you, Lord. God, what a great day it is to be alive. This is the day you've made. We choose to rejoice and be glad in it, regardless of what's going on. Today is a present. We're living in the present. It's a gift. Help us, Lord, to just do all that we can possibly do, be all we could be for you in this day. Father, you're so gracious to us to allow us to continue to preach here at Calvary. This is our 5 year as pastor, Mark, here in July. And early this morning, I was just giving you thanks for that and the opportunity to preach this morning. And so, Father, we do not take this for granted. We've come together. We've gotten ready, all of us. We're here. We're live. And I know you want to do something special. So would you do that this morning, and we will be forever thankful. We love you today. We praise you. And again, we pray for all these requests, Lord, which are many. You know who needs what. We just ask God that you'll do what you've been known to do, and that is to be present and to comfort your people. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. It is good to see you in the house of the Lord. Take a hymnal, turn to page number 390. Church, stand with me. Choir, stand. Page number 390. They're saying there's power in the blood. All right, everyone sing together now.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonderworking power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power.
as well. Please remember this afternoon, 4 o'clock for choir practice, choir. And we're beginning to work on another new song. And I pray that you just pray for us as we try and bring that song together. But again, 4 o'clock this afternoon, 5 o'clock downstairs in the fellowship hall. We look forward to that. It should be a great time. And we look forward to it. But it is great to see you in the house of the Lord. Please remember all the prayer requests that have been given. Please remember Miss Claudia. And she has asked us for a song this morning. I'll be singing here in a few moments. But we just need to lift her up in prayer. God knows exactly what she needs. And we just pray the Lord would just have his hand upon her. But it is good to be in his house this morning. And I'm glad to be here today. And I know you are as well. But let's go to him in a word of prayer. Ask the Lord to be in the service. Ask the Lord now to touch the offering. Pray for pastor this morning. Brother Dion, would you take us, Lord, a word of prayer this morning?
When I first began to walk with the Lord, I did not really trust Him. How He longed for me to understand that I could. So through the valley He's led me, afraid as I could be, till I felt His loving arms embracing me. Why would I ever doubt a God who
is all the universe. And why would I ever question his abilities? There's no place that I can go where he does not know the things that trouble me. He's always aware of where I am and what I need. I've been through enough to know that he'll be there for me. He's come. Cause I've been through enough to know that he'll be enough for me. Amen. Praise the Lord.
trust the music has been a blessing to you this morning. Not just any music, but gospel music. Music with a message. WDCY Radio in Douglasville, been listening to them for so many years. We support them as a church here. Over there off Earl D. Lee Boulevard in Douglasville. They always say, music with a message. They always have their tag on that. If you've never tuned in to Word Christian Broadcasting, WDCY, AM 1500, AM 1520, you might want to tune in sometime. Good gospel music mixed in with a lot of preaching. And even preachers of old, even. And what a blessing. What a blessing. All right, well, it's preaching time. And so you pray for me as I have been praying for you in this service. And ask the Lord to do something special this morning. Psalm 34. Psalm 34. I'm interested in one verse this morning. The past several Sundays, Sunday mornings, with the exception of a couple of Sunday nights where I didn't teach or preach, someone else did. Brother Kevin did one Sunday night, and last Sunday night we had a testimony verse sharing service. But we've really been, I feel like, drilling down hard on our spiritual lives. We talked about taking control of your spiritual life. And then we moved into what kind of church would my church be. Then we, of course, last Sunday morning we talked about freedom in Jesus and mentioned several verses. So this morning we're going to keep it simple, and I just want to park it right here in Psalm 34. I want it to be easy on the ears and the heart. And the message this morning is for someone who came in here with a broken heart. And you know if you have a broken heart this morning, and God knows. And this is not just another sermon that's going to be repeated, by the way. I'm not just occupying space behind this pulpit or trying to hurry up and get home to watch the Braves game. That will be there. But God knows my heart, and He knows your heart. And I want to preach this morning like it's my very last time preaching. I want to try to help somebody this morning. It's my desire. And so I pray that you'll take it that way as you listen. All right, Psalm 34, let's bow for prayer, and then I want to read one verse, verse 18. Father, we love you. We thank you. God, I pray that you would give me a clear head and a calm heart. Lord, there is something that needs to be said this morning. What do you do with a broken heart? Father, I pray that you would use this message that I am convinced you placed upon my heart. It's very intentional this morning. And I pray that you would bind up the wounded hearted this morning with spiritual band-aids and spiritual patches so that a person might be able to move forward with hope. We love you today. I thank you and I praise you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Psalm 34, verse number 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Again, I want to call your attention to the phrase in this verse, a broken heart. And that's what I want to preach on, that phrase, or this phrase, the broken hearted. The broken hearted. You have a broken heart this morning? I mean, I know it's the thing to do when we come to church to smile and to hug each other. But I've been alive long enough to know that just because you receive a smile and get a hug doesn't mean that that person's okay. And again, there may be someone here, there may be someone watching or listening that may be experiencing a heavy, heavy heart this morning. It may be a family issue. It may be a medical issue. It may even be a financial issue. Something that has taken place in your life has left you in pieces. And we want to try to use this verse if we can, if we could, and some surrounding verses here in the book of Psalms to try to be a blessing and a help. And I ask that the Holy Spirit would do that. And so, have you ever experienced loss? Have you ever experienced betrayal? Broken dreams? Have you ever been used or abused in your life? These things can certainly break a person's heart. Being abused, being used, being betrayed upon, loss and broken dreams. A person's heart can be left broken in a million pieces, and that's just a few things that are named. And the question is this morning, what do you do when your heart's broken? Where do you go when your heart is shattered? Who can you confide in? Will they understand? These are all questions that I think about. And some of the times I've experienced a broken heart. And of course, with the principles and promises of God's Word all put together, this is the message this morning. What do you do with a broken heart? And so sometimes your heart can be so broken that you don't want to tell anybody. And sometimes you can suffer a loss that's so at a loss that it hurts so deeply that you can't share it because you think that no one would understand or they wouldn't take it seriously when you tell them. All these things can cause a person to carry a load in their hearts. I want to give you three things this morning when it comes to the brokenhearted. Number one, there's the reality of a broken heart. This verse does not say you will never be brokenhearted. This verse does not say you'll never have to deal with a broken heart. It doesn't say that. We live in a world this morning that is broken. We deal with broken people in a broken world. There are people that we deal with that are from broken homes. There's people with broken morals and come from broken relationships, where we live in a broken society and broken systems. And so living in a world with everything that's in it, there is a whole lot of things that are broke. And at some point of time or the other, we will encounter brokenness of ourselves. It's bound to happen. At least one time in your life and mine, we will have a broken heart. And so when you have a broken heart, it's easy to ask God, why did something happen? And when you have a broken heart, it's easy to grovel in the pieces that are broken and to retreat and be a recluse in your own situation. It's so very happy to do those things when your heart's been broken. One thing this verse does not say is you will never be brokenhearted. We all will suffer a broken heart from time to time. And so we see the reality of a broken heart. And that is that we will experience this. People in the Bible, matriarchs and patriarchs, preachers and apostles, women, children, boys and girls have all experienced dealing with brokenness. And if they did, we will. Number two this morning, not only do we see the reality of a broken heart, but I want you to notice in verse 18 the reaction of a broken heart. The Bible says the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. And so we see a God reaction here. God, He reacts, He responds to our broken hearts. Now, don't get it twisted. God is always present with us. But guess what? He is also very near to us in our lives when we need Him the most. So what happens in our lives when we have a broken heart? I'll tell you what happens. God draws near. He draws near. Notice He says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. God draws near during our times of brokenness. He moves in and is ready and willing to help us. Hold your place here. Turn to Isaiah 43, if you would, just for a moment. Verse number 2, or you can just listen along. Isaiah 43, verse number 2. The Bible says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. How about those verses this morning? Listen, that's a promise that we can claim. Now, I know it was written to the Jewish people, but all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. We are, if you're saved, children of God, and we have a heavenly Father, and He will be with us through the ups and downs of life like your earthly father has been, or earthly parents are. He says, when? He says, you will have a broken heart. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. When that time comes that your heart is broken and you pass through the waters, I'll be with thee. Jesus, the Savior of the world, the one who died on the cross and was buried in the grave and by His own power rose again and ascended back to heaven, is seated on the right hand of the Father. He will be with you. Amen. And if I have a broken heart this morning, and if He raised Himself from the dead, Selah, what makes me think that He can't carry me through or walk me through? That's exactly what He does. If you're a parent this morning, listen, you have kids. I mentioned it to the song earlier. My mother walked me through. My grandparents walked me through some things. Amen to that, Paul and Maul. Y'all walked me through some things, didn't you? I have the opportunity. Christy has the opportunity to walk our daughter through some things. And so we have to be walked through. And if we had earthly parents that have walked us through, you know we have a heavenly Father, an earthly dad who walks us through. And He said, when those times come, I will be with thee. The rivers, they shall not overflow thee. Have you ever felt like that you're going to drown in your sorrow? Have you ever felt like the waves, they keep crashing and crashing? And in between waves, you get a... But here comes another wave. You ever been swimming in the ocean? I like swimming in the ocean. In fact, I like scaring my wife when I'm out there. I said, it's shark week. It's shark fest. I'm going out here. I may not be back. You know, opportunity for her to worry about me. And but I'll tell you what. Sometimes you get out there in those waters. And I remember one time I was on my tippy toes. And I felt the sand going down, 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 down. And a wave crashed and doggy paddling. That's all I know how to do, doggy paddle. Head above water. And then trying to get back to shore, swallowed water. And a wave would come and smack me around the back of my head. And then another wave. And then you crawl back on shore. Honey, do you love me? I'm suffering. Come here, honey. Come on, let's dry you off and go eat. But you know what? There are waves of adversity in this life. There are times where we suffer from a broken heart. Again, maybe a family matter, financial issues, work issues, school issues, teen issues, all these issues, any issue. They have a way of coming and crashing. And when we feel like we can get a breath, they crash again. And so sometimes we feel like we're going under for the last time. I'm thankful to God this morning that He has spiritual scuba gear. He has spiritual scuba gear. Y'all know what scuba gear is? That skin-tight suit you zip up and put the tanks on your back, and you're able to live for a brief moment underwater. Sometimes we're underwater, but God knows how to give us spiritual scuba gear while the waves crash and crash and crash upon us. I'm glad this morning that we have a Heavenly Father that will see us through. He says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. I've always thought a whole lot of firemen. I've seen movies, and one of the best movies with a fireman or firemen I've watched is that one Christian movie with Kirk Cameron. What's it called? Somebody help me out. Fireproof. Man, them boys, they load up. That alarm goes off. They load up on that fire truck, put on their gear, and go. And I mean brave. Brave. In the house. I mean, axe and all, if they have to use it. Just following one another. Dispersing themselves, looking for the victim, looking for the people that could be victims. And they throw them on the back, and they army crawl if they have to, and they get them out of the fire. Everybody don't live to tell about it, but some do. Thank God for our firemen this morning who are willing to go into a burning house knowing they themselves may not come out and rescue someone. And if we have earthly firemen, don't you know we have a heavenly fireman? There's no doubt that He will make it through helping us out, not like an earthly fireman. We have a heavenly fireman, and He walks through the fire with us, and He carries us when we're being burned and feel like we're being burned. Thank God for a heavenly fireman who rescues His children when they're in the fire. We can go on with illustrations. You know the story. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. thrown in the fire, Nebuchadnezzar threw them in the fire because they didn't bow to the music and all the instruments and all the ungodliness. And then, lo, I see a fourth man. And it was the Son of God in the fire. And I've always wondered about that story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were released from that fire, but it never said what happened to the Lord. Okay, I know. But the Lord is still with them and in heaven and with us in heaven. I know that. I like to think that he's still in the fire. I like to think that he's still there in the fire, waiting and watching for one of his own to experience a broken heart, a great time of difficulty, so he can rescue them. The Lord is still in the fire this morning. Back to our verses, Psalm 34:18, if you would. Psalm 34:18. We see that God reacts or responds to our broken hearts. The Lord is nigh. He's nigh. The Bible says, unto them that are of a broken heart. If you're here this morning and you have a broken heart, God is reachable. His hand isn't shortened that it cannot save. His ear isn't heavy that it cannot hear. The question is, what will you do with your broken heart? Will you continue to try to make sense out of what's happened? Will you continue to try to piece it back together yourself? Or will you pick up the pieces and give them to the one that can make a difference and that can help? The reaction of a broken heart. This means that God draws near. During our broken times, He moves in and is ready and willing to help us. He's near to the pain we feel. He's near to the loss we experience that cannot be replaced. He's near to the needs we have. He's fully aware of our broken hearts. He ministers to us with His Spirit. And I want to say something else. He also ministers to us through spouses and friends. There's nothing more refreshing when you have a shattered heart than your dear best friend of all, your spouse, is able to lift you up. What a blessing it is to have that one God gave you. Listen, if you're married, you're in it for the long haul. The ups, the downs, the ins, the outs. My grandparents can testify of good times and bad times. Times where she had to, you know, let my grandpa have his way a little bit. And times where my grandpa had to let my grandma have her way a little bit. But you know what? There was mutual respect. There was love. There was compromises that had to be reached in order to move forward. And thank God for a spouse that is there for you. And if you're married and you don't have that present helping spouse, I'm praying for you. And God knows about it. So, I say this morning that God draws near to us when we are broken. And thank God He's aware of all these things. And thank the Lord He uses spouses. But then thank the Lord He uses a good friend. A friend. A good friend will be there for you. I'm not talking about marriage. I'm talking about friends. A good friend, a Bible friend, will be there for you in the good times and the bad. Amen. A good friend seeks to encourage you. A good friend holds you accountable. You know, friends are there for the day of adversity. A friend is born out of adversity. However you want to look at that verse, friends, a good godly friend will be there for you during your times of adversity. And on the flip side, you make friends out of times of adversity. The thing about friends are, even good friends, sometimes they can break your heart. The wounds of a friend are faithful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Sometimes the biggest heartbreak you'll experience is by a friend breaking your heart. None of us are perfect friends. But if I know anything about friendship, I know that a friend is someone that's to be there at all times. It's easy to be there for a friend when there's money involved or popularity. But remove the money, remove the popularity, remove all of that. Will that friend still be there for you? If not, that friend needs a checkup from the neck up. Because they're not a true friend. And sometimes it takes the other friend that's been hurt and betrayed to set the example on how to be a friend. Be the example setter on being a true friend. Oh, they weren't there for you like they said they would be. And they ran out on you, but yeah, guess what? The next time that you see them in a jam, them in a fix, get yourself a good dose of Jesus and go call them. It's hard to do that. But I believe that we're called to be godly friends. Somebody has to set the example. Somebody has to swallow pride in order for this thing to work. Thank God that the times where our hearts are broken on the floor like a glass that is dropped, thank God He uses spouses and friends. And on the same token, if there's a spouse who is given equally to the relationship and being supportive, shame, 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 shame on you. Shame on you. Because the last time I read my Bible, whenever two people get married, two come together and they're one flesh. That means when the man hurts, the woman hurts. That means when the woman hurts, the man hurts. They both, listen, if that's how it's got to be for a little while, they'll just both hurt together. And so we need spouses to rise up and be the women that God has called them to be. It's time for men to rise up and be the husbands that God has called us to be. That's why it's so important. Young people, listen. Older people, listen. Hey, everybody, listen. You've been doing such a good job already. We'll get a little closer to this. I'm not a camera guy at all. But just so Facebook can see me and everybody else. Young people, if you're even thinking about dating somebody, know, K-N-O-W, know who you are dating. Amen. Know them and know them well. You say, oh, Dad, I just want to get married. I love them so much. No. The answer is no. Date them till you can't stand it anymore. In fact, no, don't date at all until you're ready. You know, you got some things accomplished, school. And when you get to that point, date to marry. If you do not date with intention, you're setting yourself up for failure. If you're not dating with the intention, hey, 2 or 3 years from now, I could see myself getting married, done with high school. You know, I'm going through college, almost done with college. I met this person in college. The first thing you ought to ask yourself, are they marriage material? But I'll tell you, a lot of people put up a good front in the beginning. Oh, baby. Yo, baby. Yo, baby. Yo. You know that's funny. Go ahead and laugh. Back before I met Christy, back before I got born again, I was a yo, baby, yo, baby, yo.
check out the dough. And I ain't talking about money. You know, anything to win them, church. Anything to win them. So where do you live at, honey? 895 Wanda Circle. My grandparents' house. Oh, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Oh, nothing. So you think you're winning them, and then they're like, well, when are you going to come pick me up and meet your grandparents? I was going to see, man, if you can catch a ride. You know what I'm saying? Some things you find out immediately, other things you find out gradually. But if I could say anything to the young ladies, the teenage girls of this church, I say it from a father's heart. Protect yourself. Save yourself. Don't put yourself in a place of temptation. You can't get out of it. None of us can. Don't wait until you're in the dark room with the guy that you're dating to decide if you're going to go any further or not. 99.9% of the time, you'll go further. Because you see, that's what sin does. It takes you further than you're willing to go. It makes you pay more than you're willing to pay. And it makes you stay longer than you're willing to stay. Young girls, young boys, get some things accomplished. Position yourself in a good way. And then when the time comes where you feel like there's this attraction between you and someone special, then you pray about it. You spend time learning them. If you meet somebody and then you get married and you jump into the marriage, very few marriages people meet, they're married, and they stayed married 50, 60 years. Very few. It can happen, but if you meet somebody, oh, they're handsome, oh, they're pretty, oh, you know, this and that, and then you marry them, and then who is this guy? Who is this woman? I don't even know them. Can I be honest? One of the biggest things we're dealing with, and I know Brother Allen can attest to this, working in law enforcement, is domestic violence in battered women. And I'm not saying this about all men, but there are a lot of men who will win you at any cost to get you. And then they'll be possessive over you, and they will try to control you and change your identity of who you are, and you become this helpless, vulnerable, sad female who can't get out of a trap. But I am glad this morning that God does give spouses who are in it for the long haul. I am glad this morning that God gives friends who help us when our heart is broken. The reaction of a broken heart, the Bible says the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Let me mention one more thing. The reaction of a broken heart, the recovery of a broken heart. What are you talking about? Recovery. Well, anything that is broken has to be fixed. And the verse says, verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. The word saveth such means to rescue, means to deliver, means to free. The words contrite spirit means crushed, powder, destruction. And so, spirit and heart many times are used interchangeably. A person's spirit can lose heart. A person's spirit can get discouraged. A person's spirit can be depressed, a depressed spirit. Or even a person can even lose the will to go on. This is having a crushed spirit, a broken heart. And so there has to be recovery. And so we see here that there's saving involved. The Lord will rescue. He will save you out of the deep waters you're in. The condition of your heart being crushed, even down to powder, God will save you. I used this illustration counseling someone the other day. Your boat in the ocean is going this way. You're out in the deep. Now you have a broken heart you're experiencing. You've been doing life this way for so long, you're in deep waters. The day you decide to give your broken pieces to Jesus and actually face what you're dealing with is the day that ship turns around. And it's going to take time to get back to the shore where it's safe. You're out here in the deep where the sharks are. You're out here in the deep where all of the dangerous things can happen. Where dangerous things can happen. If you decide today that you're going to deal with this broken heart and do what's best, give the pieces to Jesus, even go get counsel if you have to, you are deciding to turn your ship around. Amen. And the healing process is coming back to shore. And so we see that the Lord, He can rescue you. He can pull your ship in if He has to. He'll throw you a life vest. God is in the business of saving those who are drowning. And so the Lord will rescue a person in this condition if they let Him. Look at verse 6. Verse 6. David says, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." Verse 15. "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry." Verse 17, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth him out of all their troubles." You see the picture here? I think it's time with your broken heart to cry out to Jesus. Stop trying to fix it on your own. Cry out to Him. He will rescue you. David says, "This poor man cried." He says, "I was bankrupt. I needed help. I've gone as far as I can go." And so he cried. And he continued talking about crying out to the Lord. Look at verse 19. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." Verse 22. "The Lord redeemeth the soul of His servants, and none of them that trust in Him shall be desolate." The recovery of a broken heart has to do with being saved. Saved from your situation. Now, the salvation of your soul is something else. If you don't know Him personally as your Savior, the first thing He's going to save you from is hell. So you need to figure that out. But then, after salvation, the times when we have broken hearts, we need the Lord to save us, help us, put us back together, those of us who have a contrite or crushed spirit. So the Lord will rescue a person in this condition if they'll let Him. So there's the saving, but then there's the healing. This is all the recovery process. Just got a couple more minutes, we'll be through. Psalm 147, I'll read it to you, says this, verse 3. "He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds." Psalm 27 in verse number 14. Not only will he bind up the broken heart, but he will strengthen the heart. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Is your heart weak this morning? Is it weak? Spiritually, emotionally, he can strengthen. He can strengthen your heart. He can strengthen their heart. You've got to bring him the pieces. You've got to wait on him. That word wait in verse 27, one person said it means, or through the idea, by faith, waiting on God to act. You're waiting to get better. You're waiting to be healed. You want a new direction to go in. You want this to be over. Then you need to wait on him. By faith, wait on God to act. But also the word wait. By faith, serve while you wait. Some of the best ways of healing when you're hurting is by helping. Is by helping. You discover that you'll be used as a channel. All your hurt when you're serving and helping someone else, you'll find out that there's this energy that you can wholeheartedly pour into someone else because you've been hurt. And you are working from experience. You are. That's your goal. That's your heart thrive at the moment, is that you're hurt. But by you jumping in and helping someone else or helping a cause, you are channeling your hurt. The Bible says, while passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. Valley of Baca, dry valley. The only chance of getting any water is digging a well, letting God fill the rain, fill the well with rain. So others that are passing through and it's dry and they're thirsty, they can be able to get a drink. And the takeaway from that is, turn your misery into ministry. Allow someone else to drink from it. Let me say this, and I'll be through. The Lord will heal your heart if you let him. He will strengthen your heart. It says, the Bible says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And so we see that a healing is possible, and a healing will happen. Someone said one time, will my broken heart ever heal? And yes, it may not heal perfectly. You may have some band-aids and bandages upon your heart, but the Lord can repair it. I'm trying to quit. The Lord can needle through and thread through those tears with his love and his grace and his mercy. But you've got to let him. You've got to trust him. Father, we thank you for the message this morning. We thank you for the liberty to deliver the message. Thank you, Lord, for such a great listening church. Lord, there may be someone here this morning, Father, who has a broken heart. I pray without any long, exhaustive words from me now that as we give it over to the invitation time, you would use the invitation. Let them come. Let them do business with you this morning. Give liberty, Lord, during this time, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. If you need to come, please come. Don't be shy. Don't be bashful. We're all here for a reason. Come on, won't you come down? We're all here to be mended.
That's so unworthy and so scarred by
Let the Lord heal you. Come on.
Over and over, he molds me and makes me into his likeness. He fashions a clay, a vessel.
Come this morning. God, speak it to your heart. Come, please.
He is the potter, and I am the clay, molded in his likeness.
He wants to put the pieces back together.
But when I stumble,
anyone else? Let's go. Let's do this.
He just picks up those old pieces.
Let God heal you.
He doesn't throw the clay away. Over and over.
Anyone else? The Lord's moving.
He molds me and makes me.
Simple message. Please feel free to come this morning. Don't leave anybody by themselves to pray. If you see somebody, come pray with them, please. These are responding. We're going to continue the altar call and the invitation service. Brother Randy, if you'll keep singing, please, sir. Just come if you need to come.
He is the potter. I am the clay.
Let the Spirit deal with your heart.
Molded in his likeness.
Let him bandage the heart.
He wants me to stay. But when I stumble,
thank the Lord. He is not going to throw you away.
Vessel of honor.
Thank you, Brother Randy. Thank you so much. Thank you, church, for being here. Thank you for those who responded. I hope that whatever the reason you came forth, that it's settled. And praise the Lord for that. Sometimes we just want to come forth to give God thanks. And so there's always many reasons why people come. And thank you for listening this morning. Remember, today, choir practice at 4 o'clock. Evening service, again, will be downstairs at 5 o'clock. And we have something similar to share tonight. Not the same thing, of course. Wouldn't do that. But just in a different vein, something kind of similar as this morning. But something I've shared recently, but I need to share it again. And so we'll be mentioning that tonight. And I guess that's all we have. Brother Randy, you have anything? Okay. All right. Well, anything? All hearts clear before we go? Okay. Good crowd this morning. Good crowd. It's been a joy being here. All right. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. And everybody be safe. And Lord willing, we'll see you here in just a little while. Brother Brown, would you close us out this morning?